As children, we used to sing that lovely little chorus, didn't we? When with Jesus in your boat, you can smile at the storm. Do you remember singing that? Yeah, that just shows how old some of you are. But I'm not sure just how much the disciples were smiling at this stage. They certainly had Jesus in the boat with them. We read here that as Jesus went into the boat, he went into the stern of the boat and he laid down his head on a pillow and he fell fast asleep. And as they started out in this journey, I suppose you could say that it was absolutely and utterly idyllic. Everything seemed to be calm. Everything seemed to be pleasant. They'd had a busy day. And now Jesus, their master, is asleep in the boat that they are steering and guiding. But suddenly everything changes. Suddenly the calm and the peace that they had experienced disappears and they are launched into the most horrendous circumstances that you can imagine. And rather than smiling at the storm, we discover that the disciples here are absolutely and utterly terrified. Maybe the disciples had reckoned that by following Jesus Christ, it would make them exempt from all of the experiences that others would have. That seeing the one who healed people, that they would be exempt from sickness. That seeing the one who could change the circumstances of all sorts of situations, that they would be exempt from pain and sorrow and tears and losses and crosses. But here, we find that they experience this horrendous storm. And many simply understand this passage by saying that if Jesus calmed the storm on the lake, that he can calm the storm in your life too. And that may be absolutely true, but I'm not sure that that's really the message of this passage here today. So let's come to look at this morning. At the end of the day, we find Jesus in the boat. Just as at the beginning of this passage, we find Jesus in the boat. Look at verse 1 with me. We find Jesus here about to tell this parable of the sower. And Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out in the lake while the people were along the shore at the water's edge. So at the beginning of this passage, the beginning of this day, we find Jesus using a boat as a pulpit to allow him to reach the people. But he's had a busy day. And we find him at the end of the day, just wanting to get away from everything for a while. And out he goes in the boat. So what are we told here in this passage? Well, we're told that it's the evening. We're told that as Jesus and the disciples launch out into the sea, that there are other boats there with them. I don't know if we could kind of see this as being the version of the paparazzi of the day, that Jesus is this superstar and people want to see him. They want to be with him for everything that he does and they're not happy to let him go away and have this time alone, but they want to be there too. And they get into this flotilla of little boats and they head out on the water along with them. Perhaps it was a case that they wanted to make sure that they missed nothing. That they heard every word that Jesus spoke and they saw every miracle that he performed. And we're told here, still looking at the facts, that a furious squall comes up. Not only is the water outside the boat, but the water is now getting into the boat and there is a danger of them being swamped by the water and the boat sinking. And again, dealing with the facts, we're told what Jesus was doing in the boat. He was sleeping. In fact, we're even given the interesting reality here that he had laid his head on a cushion. This is quite a factual account of the happenings of that particular day. And then we're told the disciples woke him up because they couldn't understand why he was sleeping whenever they were terrified. Now let me just clear up a misunderstanding about the storms of life. The disciples were not in this predicament here because they'd done something wrong. They hadn't made foolish choices. In fact, the disciples here are in the eye of the storm precisely because they were obedient. Jesus had said to them, let's push the boat out. Let's go out into the lake. And the disciples, because they are obedient, are now facing this storm in their lives. And there are those today who try to teach us, you know, if you're having a problem in your life, if you're dealing with a difficult set of circumstances, if it feels as though everything is coming against you, it is because you have done something wrong. It's because you've displeased God in some way. It's because you've committed a sin in your life, and that's why illness has come upon you, or that is why you've lost your job. You've done something wrong. But it may actually be whenever we are totally and utterly obedient to God, whenever we are right in the very center of His will, that we face the most horrendous circumstances of our lives. So let's look at this passage this morning. And as you'll find from the back of your announcement sheets, I tend to like a very simple approach to these things. And I've simply used three words to convey what happens in this passage this morning. The first word I've used here is shattered. Look at verse 38. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" You know, there's a wonderful comfort for us here in Christ's exhaustion. And what's the comfort? Well, the comfort is this, that Jesus was fully man. He'd been laboring all day. He'd been preaching to the people, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. We know that that's the message that he's been preaching. And Jesus is not only preaching, but he's also healing people. People who were ill were being brought to Jesus, and he was touching them, and people were being restored. And Jesus is fatigued at the end of a day. He had a body just like ours. He was born of a woman. He ate, he drank, he rested, and he slept. Jesus at times sorrowed. We can see in a couple of occasions where Jesus wept, and he felt things in the way that we feel things. You see, he that ruled over principalities and powers took on a frail body like our own. He is not only a powerful Savior, but he is a sympathizing Savior. Not just the Son of God able to save, but the Son of Man able to feel. You see, if God was only come to us in the sense of the Son of God, well, we could have trusted him, but not come near him out of fear. You know, we think of Moses going up the mountain to see God, and God appeared in a cloud, because it would have been impossible for Moses to fully see God and live. So God could have come to us in that sense, and we would not have been able to come near him out of fear. Or if he had only come as man, well, then we could have loved him but not trusted in him, because he would have been unable to deal with our sin. But Jesus knows our temptation, and yet has resisted that temptation. Are you poor and needy? Do you feel as though you're alone in the world? Are you misunderstood? Do you face horrendous temptations? Are you in agony? Well, so is Jesus. It is a comfort to us that Jesus came in human form, that he experienced all of these things that are common to us. And isn't there a comfort that Jesus knows and understands? He sees the things that no one else does. Jesus is not oblivious to our struggles in life, and those times when we just feel too shattered to go on. He knows. He cares. He understands, even if no one else does. Shattered. Scared. Look again at verse 38. The disciples woke Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" You know, you can sense here, can't you, in the response of the disciples, almost an impatience, an unbelief. How is it that the wind is howling and the waves are coming on board the little boat? How is it that Jesus is still fast asleep? I think I told you this story before about the time whenever we had a caravan and we headed down to Ross's Point in Sligo, and we were right at the edge of the cliff there. It was a beautiful view on a good day. But we had an awning up at the side of the caravan, and this particular evening the winds began to howl. And Hazel fell fast asleep. And I mean, a bomb could have gone off and she wouldn't have wakened. Now what made it so much worse was that I was wide awake. Through the night, every 5 minutes I was putting the blind up just to see if the awning was still there. I even got out of the caravan in the middle of the night and I found extra pegs and I pegged down the awning a little bit more. Hazel slept on through the whole thing. Through me clattering with the pegs, through me opening the door, through me banging the pegs in, she slept through the whole thing. The awning was rattling, the caravan was shaking. Hazel slept through it all. Now, it was bad enough that this torture was going on through the night. But I can promise you, what wound me up the most was Hazel snoring through the whole thing. I really did. Now, I didn't do it, but I felt like grabbing her and shaking her and saying, "How can you sleep? Do you not see what I'm going through?" And she couldn't understand why I wanted to sleep the whole of the next day while she was wide awake. I guess the reality was that she had more faith and trust in God than I did. And here we find the disciples. And I can only imagine how they must have felt. Jesus is sleeping through this storm. It looks as though they're going to lose their lives. And where's Jesus? He's in the stern of the boat. He's got a head and a nice comfortable pillow. And he's snoring away. Well, I don't know if he was snoring, but he's sleeping through the whole thing. How can he do this? Does he not feel for their situation? Does he not understand what they're going through? Is he not going to join with them in this awful experience? But they'd seen proof of Christ's power before. Why should they doubt now? Well, I think that sometimes peril gives us a bad memory. When things are good, we can say, yes, we trust in God, and we know that God will help us and strengthen us. But whenever the trouble comes, our eyes are so focused on the trouble that we lose sight of God. Have you ever experienced that? I know I have. I know the principle, which is that I should always be trusting in God through every circumstance. But I'm so focused in my life on how I can deal with things that I lose sight of how it should be. Now, what happened here, someone suggests, is similar to the turbulence that you would face on a plane. The pilots can't see the turbulence because it's in the air, but you know whenever you hit it. And the pilots always say to you, whenever you're on the plane, keep your seatbelt on, unless you absolutely have to get up and visit the loo or whatever it is you need to do. Keep your seatbelt on. And you know those times whenever the turbulence starts and you see the little light coming on, fasten your seatbelts. For anybody who hasn't flown, this is probably going to terrify you from ever flying. But you hit the turbulence and then suddenly the plane drops. Have you ever experienced that? I remember one time with my mum and dad, and we were flying out to America, and we hit the turbulence. I didn't feel it. I was sitting in a different part of the plane to them, and I barely felt it. But then I like the roller coaster rides. But my mom and dad said where they were sitting, that people were screaming around them. People were shouting out, and people were praying. Because the plane just suddenly dropped, whoosh, straight down. And you don't see the turbulence coming. And apparently it's like that on the Sea of Galilee. You don't see these squalls, but they just suddenly appear. And even experienced sailors like these would have been, wouldn't have seen this coming. But here it is, and they're in the midst of this squall, and it looks as though their lives are going to come to an end. And what had happened to them was that very quickly they passed the point of their know-how and their lives are in the hands of God. They found that they were in a circumstance where they had lost control. And the sad reality is that they never actually had control. Although it now looked to them as though they had lost it, really, God was in control through it all. So they go to Jesus. They waken him up. And I don't know what your picture is of how this took place. I don't think that they got a committee together and they said on the boat, okay, which one of us should go and have a wee chat with Jesus? And then one of them goes over and taps Jesus on the shoulder and says, I'm really sorry to waken you, but you know, some of the guys over there are a wee bit worried about this squall that's taking place. And, well, personally, I don't understand it, but you know, I wonder, could you possibly think about coming and helping us? I don't see it like that in the boat. I reckon that they all probably started shouting at Jesus at once and saying, Jesus, waken up. Look at the situation that we're in. They are desperate. And isn't it so easy for us to lose sight of God? That in those problems, the problem becomes so big and God in our minds becomes so small. It's about perspective, isn't it? Perhaps you're scared of the problems that you face in life today. New circumstances in 2020, health issues that you're dealing with, financial problems. Maybe you're caught right in the middle of a terrifying storm in your life. And all you can see are the angry waves. All you can hear is the howling winds. Well, let me ask you, is Jesus in your boat? Are you looking to him? Are you depending alone on him? He has a purpose for what you're going through right now, and perhaps it is even to teach you that lesson that you need him. Scared, lastly, shocked. Look with me at verse 39. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, or peace, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. No one could do this but God. King Canute tried to stop the waves, but he couldn't. Famously in the Christianity Explored course, Rico Tice says, you know, whenever he's in the bath, he can't even get the water in the bath to still. And yet Jesus here speaks, and the wind and the waves stop instantly. It's not even as though they begin to die down, but they stop instantly. This is almighty power, and it is exactly the same power that brought about creation. It is the same power that provides for this world today. It is the same power that heals people. It is the same power that saves people from their sins. It's the same power. And let me ask you, Christian, Are you trusting in this power today? Or are you trying to do everything in your life by your own strength, by your own ability, by your own ingenuity? Or are you trusting fully in God? Verse 39, Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves. Notice again the detail here. They instantly stop. Instantaneous. It was remarkable what happens here. How Jesus controls the very weather. Jesus spoke to the waves. The waves don't have ears that they can hear. But yet Jesus controls the very nature that he created. What is actually happening here is that the lordship of Jesus over creation is established clearly in the minds of the disciples. In creation, God spoke and the world was created. Here Jesus speaks and the elements obey. And having calmed everything down, Jesus has an amazing question for the disciples. Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? Now I reckon if you or I were in that boat, we would have been pretty afraid too. As I said to the children earlier on, I can still remember that time out in Loch Earn. And I can remember being frightened on the boat. First it was a bit of fun. And then the fun turned into terror. Jesus says, why are you afraid? Why are you not trusting in me? In a sense, he said to them, you know, you've watched me heal the blind and the lame and the deaf and the dumb. Are you still not understanding that I can do all things? But we too easily forget as well, don't we? We get so comfortable with the way that our lives are. We express some sort of faith in God, but because we do so many things in our lives as we see it ourselves, we take the decisions as to what we do each day. We go out to work in our strength. We reason through so many of the situations as we think by ourselves. And we kind of lose sight of God. We don't realize that he's the one who gives us the strength to go out in the morning. We don't realize that it's him that gives us the faculty that allows us to think. And we lose sight of him in our lives. What happened when Jesus said, peace, be still? Well, although the storm and the sea was stilled, I reckon that the hearts and the minds of the disciples was stirred up. He calmed the sea, but he stirred the disciples up. And that's just what we need at times, isn't it? To be stirred up in our activity for the Lord. To be reminded at times who Jesus is and why we worship him, why we serve him, and how we are to devote all of our lives to him. And at times he makes us stop. Just to stop whatever it is we're doing and refocus our minds on him. Maybe it's illness. Maybe it's the death of a loved one. Maybe it's the loss of a job. And God causes us to stop and to remind ourselves that he is in control. And these disciples need to stop. Sheer awe swept over them because they'd brought Jesus along just as he was in the boat. And now they've come to discover, as we're going to find again tonight in Trinity, just who Jesus is. They're given a glimpse of his majesty. It's as if somehow or other the lightning strikes them and there is a clearing in their thinking and their perception. And they understand that it's about the greatness of their God. about the power of their Savior. Very often when we look at the paintings of the early church, they very often would have painted a sea. And in the sea, you would have found a boat. And this was to remind them of how the church is like that boat in the world with Jesus at the stern. We don't know what the days ahead hold for our world. If you listen to the news reports at the minute, the days ahead could be particularly difficult. But even in a turbulent world, even when the wind and the waves are howling around us, yet with Jesus in our boat, we truly can smile at the storm, because there's a peace in our hearts to know that Jesus is in control. Is Jesus in your boat? Is Jesus in the center of our church, of our community? Are we seeking to have an influence in our world? Not by forcing ourselves on others, but by showing them that we have a trust, a peace that passes all understanding, that's based not on outward circumstances, but based on the fact that Jesus is in the center of our lives. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we thank you for the peace that comes through knowing Jesus Christ. We thank you that despite the worst of circumstances in our lives, that we can know that you are Lord, that you are in control, that you are above and beyond all other things. So, Lord, we pray today for any who do not know Jesus as their Savior, who do not have Jesus in the center of their lives, that today they would come and trust in him. And, Lord, for those of us who are Christians and maybe have lost sight of our dependency upon you, remind us again today that in everything we do, we're to make sure that you are great in our lives and that everything else is small. And to you and you alone, be all the praise and honor and glory. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.